When John and I were students way back in the last century, we went on a weekend, a student weekend away to Cambridge, and it was a fantastic weekend. The guy that was speaking spoke on Knowing God, the book by Packer, but he came out with a little phrase that has stuck with us ever since, and it's this, and it really sums up as well what we've seen today. This is the phrase. It says, the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. And it's talking about the testaments, really. So let me say that again. The New Testament, is in the old concealed. Can anybody tell me what concealed means? Children. Concealed. What does it mean, concealed? Yeah? Hidden. Well done. That's fantastic. So the... I haven't got anything to give you, but... Bless you. So the new is in the old concealed. So that means that what we've seen today is the New Testament. The Jesus appears again and again and again in the Old Testament, but it's hidden. And it's a bit like digging for gold. They're like little nuggets that come up every so often, all the way through the Old Testament. Little flashes of light about Jesus, about Emmanuel, about somebody that would be with us. And we need to dig for them. We need to look for them. And actually, it's amazing that what was said today by the young people was that was it. The nugget here, nugget here. Looking forward to Jesus. So the new is in the old concealed, but then the old is in the new revealed. And when we get to the New Testament, the old is revealed. Jesus has come. The person who was foretold in the Old Testament was now revealed in the New Testament. So it's a good little phrase, that, isn't it? It says, the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. Shall we all say that? Okay, are you ready? The new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. And when you look back into the Old Testament, you will see that as it goes along. And I think that's been really good of what we've seen today. Let me just read a little bit from the beginning of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I think Isabella read this earlier. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And that was the New Testament. That's what happened with the New Testament. The true light that was coming into the world is revealed. Okay, so that is the new, the old is in the new revealed. So where there were snippets or flashes of light in the Old Testament now becomes an overwhelming brightness, an overwhelming shining. Jesus has come into the world. Fantastic, isn't it? The light shines. I love this phrase. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I'll say it again because it's good. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So the light will shine on forever and ever and ever. And when it's dark, when it's really dark, a small light can light up the whole area. I wonder if you've ever been to down a cave. You know, you go on these tours, don't you, and you go down. Maybe you've been to Blue John Caverns out at Castleton, the school or something, and you go down the caves, and when you're at the deepest part, they usually warn you, but then they switch all the lights off, and you are there, and it is pitch black. It is so dark, you can't even see your hand in front of your face, because there is no light whatsoever. Anybody been there? So something like that? Yeah, quite a lot of people, yeah. But all you need is the smallest of light. They usually shine a torch on then. And all you need is the smallest of light, and it will dispel the darkness. Yeah? It will dispel the darkness. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Or, young people, when you've been on camp and you come back late at night and you've forgotten your torch and you try to get into your tent, and you go into your tent, well, hopefully it's your tent that you're getting into, and you can't find what you want to find because you're trying to find it, but because you haven't got your torch, because you've forgotten your torch, because when you went out, it was light. And you come back, and you can't find what you want to find, but when you find your torch and switch it on, then you can see things, and you begin to see things clearly. So, what is your source of light? I wonder if people can tell me what different sources of light we have around the world. Not Jesus, that comes later, okay? That's the answer. But what sources of light do we have? Yeah? My? The sun. The sun is a great light. We'll come on to the sun at the end, yeah? A firefly. I haven't got one of those today, but maybe I'll try for next week, yeah? Lights up there, electric lights, yeah? Light bulbs and everything, yeah? Solar power, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's the sun again, though, isn't it? When we've got solar panel, but great one, yeah, Josh? The moon is not a source of light. It is a reflection of the sun. I did this at school. But it does seem to be a light, Joshua. You are right, but it's actually the sun reflects onto the moon and comes back to us. So it's actually a reflection of the moon, not a source of light. Yeah, Ella? Fire. Good. Well done. Glad you said that. Fire is light as well. Now, I have a couple of things here that I want to... Some of those things that you have mentioned. Jimmy's just going to come out and help me, I think. So, I've got a match here. No, don't give him a clap. He's not done anything yet. Actually, he's done something. Right. Now, I want you to... I've got a match. It's an extra long match. Any idea how long, when Chimmy strikes it, it will burn for? How much? About 15 seconds? Yeah. A minute? Who said a minute? Jake in there? Yeah, not bad. Any other offers? Minute's a long time, though, isn't it, for that? Yeah? 30 seconds? 40 seconds? Okay. John, you've got your... 5 minutes? John, yeah, it's not that long. You've got your phone out. Can you time it, please? 57 seconds. Right, we're going to see how long it burns for before Chimmy burns his fingers. Then you can clap him. Okay, come forward a bit. Okay. Are you all right? You got my finger then. Don't let it go out though. Don't let it go out. You might have to turn it up a little bit. Turn it up. Turn it. Oh. You've got to turn it up. You've got to turn it up. Start again. Start again. You might have to hold it like that more. Yeah. Now turn it a little bit like that. Yeah. Turn it up a bit more. It's burning well.
Is it time on?
No. Now turn it back up a little bit. No, the other way. Yeah. Keep it burning. It's a lot longer than some of you thought, actually, isn't it? Hold it right at the end, Jim. It's getting close to his fingers. I disclaim any responsibility for... Forty-six seconds. Not bad at all. 46 seconds. When I did it last night, I did it for a minute, in actual fact, which surprised me. But it's a long time. Yeah. But it burns out. You might as well stay up here now. Okay, hold that. So we've got a tiny little... what do you call them?
Candle.
Tea light, okay? And if we set that going... Okay. And also, I've got here a bigger candle. Any idea how long the tea light would last? Hours. Yeah, the tea light will probably, at our growth group party on Monday, it lasted for 4 hours, and that's still going from there. So that will be probably 8 to 9 hours, I should think. This one, days. I think if we left it going today, it will still be going when we come back for the carol service tonight, and probably maybe even on Christmas Day. But I'm not going to do that, don't worry. Not going to do that. But they're all, if we just put it over here, Jimmy. And we'll leave them going. But there are other things, aren't there, that light up, okay? Glow sticks. Jim, you'll like this one. Hold that for me. Okay. Oops, they're falling out the bottom now. Glow sticks, how many people like glow sticks? But how long do you think a glow stick will last? One night, yeah, it usually lasts the night, doesn't it? No, that's a smear. So, Jim. Okay. So, a glow stick might last a little bit of time, mightn't it? I quite often take this to camp, okay? I won't put it on because otherwise I'll knock my thing off. It's my little torch, okay? Quite strong. Flashes his eyes at you as well, all right? But all of these things will eventually burn out. Somebody said about an electric light bulb. I've got one here. An LED candle. But actually, it lasts, and it lasts for 30,000 hours. That's a long time, isn't it? Yeah, long time. The sun... You do. You're not wrong, Graham, you're right. Thanks. You can give Jimmy a round of applause. Somebody said the sun, but do you know even the sun one day will burn out? And it says in Isaiah, it says the sun will be no more, will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, although the moon's a reflection. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. The Lord is the only light. Jesus is the only light that will not snuff out, burn out. He is the only person that will not get extinguished. He has come into the only light that is eternal is Jesus. And if this Christmas time, the one thing you go away with is that, just take that. Emmanuel, God with us. This Christmas time, invite that light of life, the eternal life, to come into your life. And encourage you, if you've not done it before, may today or may this Christmas time be the time that you come to know that eternal light, that light that goes on forever. In Revelation 21, it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. These lights will not last. We need the eternal light of Jesus to flood our lives, because the world is dark out there. And if we've got the light, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. As some of you know, I had an operation on my nose a couple of weeks ago. And some of you might not know, but I had an operation on my nose. And I went in the morning. It was just it was a little skin cancer that they had to take off. Went in the morning. I put on one of those beautiful NHS gowns and sat, lay on the operating theatre. It was just by local anaesthetic. But as I lay there, they suddenly put on the overhead light. Bing! And it's so, so bright. I thought I'd gone to glory, actually. and may that be what glory is like, okay? But the light was so bright. I don't know if you've ever been there and been under local. It is so bright, I couldn't look at it. My eyes, I couldn't look at it. It was so bright. And when they were doing it, they put a mask over my eyelids so it didn't go through my eyelids. It was so great. However, one thing, the brightness just flooded everywhere. But many of you might not have known that I was going in for an operation because the mark on my nose was so small and so insignificant, supposedly. Obviously, it wasn't insignificant because they needed to take it off. But many people didn't know. But as soon as that light shone on it, it showed up all the imperfections. It showed up the little cancerous skin cancer. It showed up all the other imperfections on my face as well, because it was so bright and so intense. And that is like Jesus. When Jesus comes into our life, he shines on us and he shows up all our imperfections. So when we come to him, and as we go on in our life with him, God will show us our imperfections, the things that we have done wrong, the shame, the guilt, and all those other things. And we need to continually be coming, asking for God to shine on us and to shine those things, acknowledge the things that we've done wrong, and come to him. It's not, you don't need to worry, because we come to him in repentance and we ask his forgiveness. But that light is the light that is so bright, and it shows up every imperfection. I just want to read a little thing from my reading a few weeks ago. It says, light is exposing, brilliant, radiant, clear. Light changes the shape of every room it enters. The shadow places of my life and my heart are open before the presence of God. So all the things that we've done, it doesn't matter if we don't acknowledge them ourselves, because God knows about them. But we're wanting the light to shine on us so that we can acknowledge them, repent, and become more like Jesus. The shadow places of my life and heart are open before the presence of the God who came with tender mercy, carrying life. The light shines in the darkness, changing my world, changing my home, changing me. To every place of shadow, I welcome your illuminating presence today. So maybe today you need to ask God to illuminate things in your life that will shine up and that we can get right with God again. So who is the light for? We end up setting limits if we're not careful. We end up saying, Jesus is for this person, that person. But light, Jesus, the light, is for everyone. The light of God is offered to all, rich and poor, sons and daughters, slave and free, quiet, like me, and loud, like me. Pop stars and orphans, actors and chefs, students retired, adored and forgotten. The true light that gives light to everyone has arrived, stretching the limits of my tired love and shattering the limits I set on who belongs at the table. The true light has come. The message of the gospel is startling because it is true. It arrests attention, transforms hearts, changes destination, reshapes nations. Boy, we need our nation reshaping. It is good news for all, equally beautiful for every age. It reaches every tribe, tongue, nation, announcing the good news. Jesus has arrived. Jesus has arrived, and his light and life are a message for all. So not only do we want to open our lives to let the light, the eternal life, come in today, not only do we want God to shine on our life and help us to get right back with God, but what then does Jesus go on to say? In Matthew 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." So having received the light, we need to be able to live it out as well. My last little thing, we need to be like a torch, don't we, that shines brightly in our world, don't we? Which is not very good, really, is it? Would you like to be a light like that? Bit of a damp squid, really, isn't it, that one? Thankfully, I've got another one. Oops, and a few extra glow sticks. So we need to be shining brightly. We don't want to be a damp squid. We don't want to be somebody that just does a little bit, but actually, when you're actually confronted with things, I want to be the light that shines. I want to be the light that shines out brightly and makes a difference in this world. Thank you. John 12 says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Don't stay in the darkness. Come into the light. Come into the light. John 1 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this Christmas time, don't stay in darkness. Don't stay in darkness, but shine the light out to others. Let's open our lives to the light. Let the light of God shine in our hearts and reveal the imperfections. We can come to him in repentance and move on. But let our light shine like the bright torch for others to see. Amen. Amen.